Super Bowl week, guys. Welcome to Steel and Maz, Mass Music Radio's Pioneer Podcast. We're located in Quincy Point, once again at the Mass Music Radio headquarters. Tonight, it's all Super Bowl talk as Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers host the defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs in Super Bowl 55 Sunday night. CBS writer and Mass native Tyler Sullivan joins the show to talk about the big game, along what went right. What are you doing, dude?
From Quincy Eats. Download it now. Android or Apple.
Forget Uber Eats. Forget anything that's delivering food. Sign up with Quincy Eats. It's a local business around here. That's giving us stuff. We have pizza from the alumni. We got wings tonight. Good stuff. Official sponsor is Steel and Naz. Once again, a Mass Music production. Leading on, we'll also have a bunch of Quincy legends calling in to share their predictions for the big game. We'll give you our picks and top prop bets that Anton will be giving. We got a big night tonight going. Let's get after it. Here's Tyler Sullivan with CBS giving his analysis. We're now joined by NFL writer for CBS Sports, Tyler Sullivan. Tyler, what's going on tonight? How are you surviving here?
What's going on, guys? Nothing much. Just another week in paradise. A little bit of a busier week, but it's not bad.
Yeah, a big one.
Yeah, at least we got some football this Sunday. I can't tell you how miserable last Sunday was just not having anything on.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't mind it just because I do it, like, all the time. You know, I was saying to my girlfriend last week, because we actually were able to do stuff and kind of somewhat be normal. I'm like, this is great. Look at this. You know, us having a couple of drinks on a Sunday. You know, usually I'm not able to do this, and it's great. So, you know, that's fine, but it is weird because I do sometimes get the itch too. I'm like, well, I still need some football. I need something.
Yeah, exactly. A late night game or something, you know?
Right. I'm just waiting around. I think the Celtics were on, so that helped me a little bit. I was like, okay, I got something to watch, but I was definitely itching for football.
Yeah, definitely wasn't watching that video game Pro Bowl, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'd rather just play that.
Yeah. What's a typical Sunday look like for you?
Yeah, so it depends. I mean, you know, because I'm obviously we're up here in New England, so it's either if the Patriots are playing at home, I'll more often than not be at Gillette Stadium. I'll get there at some point, but because I'm not just the Patriots writer for CBS, I'll be, you know, pretty much here. It just in the home setup, it's a little bit different now, obviously, because of COVID and everything kind of, you know, throwing a wrench into everything. But I still, you know, if we're talking about a regular Patriots game, and I was able to go throughout the course of this year too, it was a little weird, but you know, you're still able to go and cover those games at Gillette Stadium. So it depends. I mean, if you have a 1 o'clock game at Gillette Stadium, I'm probably there around, you know, 9 o'clock in the morning, but that's mostly because I have other obligations to do too. I mean, you see some guys roll in, you know, right around kickoff time, and that's relatively normal for most people, but I have to do a couple of gambling things too. I cover a lot of that for CBS Sports. So you kind of just good to get your bearings early and then roll into it.
Yeah, just worrying about if I don't know, Cam Newton's a game time decision, whether to sit him or sit him some more.
Yeah, pick the under on the odds, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, we're watching that pretty much go the entire way. But, like, you know, you're watching to see, you know, who's going through pregame warm-ups and that kind of stuff, too. You know, you see if Julian Edelman's out there or not. You know, that was obviously a big thing this year, whether or not he was going to come back. Like, you know, you're following that type of stuff, but really it's just kind of getting ready.
I'll piggyback off Magic's question here and yeah, we saw the Patriots, you know, we had some kind of thought that they were going to have an okay season. Turns out, I mean, they had a tough schedule going 7-9, missing the playoffs. Cam Newton wasn't the guy who we thought was going to happen. So I just kind of want to know your thoughts on the team. And, you know, they obviously fell down this year, but is there anything really to take out of the season?
Well, I mean, you know, there's obviously some things that you can still take from it. Listen, I don't think this roster was any good. I really don't. You know,
awful.
When you combined all the opt-outs with Brady leaving and really just not filling a lot of those key roles, yes, you still had Stephon Gilmore and you still had guys that could pop off in certain spots, but there was really no unbelievable game changers. I mean, that linebacking core was absolutely ravished through free agency and then opt-outs. So, I mean, you know, it wasn't a roster that I thought was going to compete for the division or anything along those lines. The fact that you got 7 wins out of that, to me at least, says Belichick still can manufacture a handful of wins for you. Because I don't know if that's really a 7-win team, in all honesty. So I think that there's something to be said for that. But, you know, outside of the roster, you know, outside of Belichick just still being a solid to above, well above average head coach, the one thing that you're looking at now is just the fact that you have the number 15 pick. It's the highest you've had in a long time. And then you have the fourth most amount of cap space. You just got to see if they can hit those pieces. But really, when you turn look at the, you know, the on-field team right now, yeah, you're kind of hoping that Dante Hightower comes back and plays at a high level. You're hoping that Patrick Chung comes back and plays at a high level. But you still got to figure out the quarterback situation. Stidham's going to be on the roster, but he couldn't even manage to start a game when Cam Newton really wasn't throwing the ball at all.
I know.
Awful. What does that
say?
Awful.
What does that say about Jared Stidham? So to me, there's still obviously a lot of that to be hammered out over the next few weeks and months to May to really figure out what this team's going to look like.
Yeah, I'm still even looking at this upcoming season if Jared Stidham will still be on the roster then. You know, I think there's a lot to, you know, break down and manage out. And you talk about the linebacking core of, you know, you're hoping Hightower comes back because they even had these guys, I mean, Kyle Duggar and it was Adrian Phillips there, who were even stepping up at points as, yeah, they were the safeties, but they're also kind of filling in a void in the linebacking position.
Yeah, it's true. And I think Kyle Duggar's actually a good hit. I think that, you know, it was kind of, everybody was kind of like,
Lenore Wright, yeah.
Where is he from? Why did they do this?
Can light some people
but
up.
Ended up being solid. You know, he's playing a little bit of box safety there so he can help out the linebacking core, kind of like what Patrick Chung used to do. I do think that that's a solid pickup, but you're right. It, you know, you never know with Stidham. You could, you know, I think he'll be on the roster simply because he's going to be so freaking cheap. I mean, it's just, you know, fourth round pick on a rookie contract. It's, you don't really need, you know, he's been in the system for a few years now. I don't see any reason why you would move off of him unless some team just somehow loves him. If Nick Caserio loves him in Houston, sure, here you go. Send him off the town.
Quickly.
That would be beautiful. But other than that, no, I could see him still being on the roster.
So I'll follow up with you mentioned the draft a little bit. I'll ask an inevitable Patriots question for this upcoming season after, but what do you think they're going to do with that 15th pick there? I mean, there's a lot of stuff you could do with that pick. I mean, obviously with the Patriots, they like to trade picks. They don't necessarily like to take, you know, high skilled, you know, position players like the receiving core quarterback. What do you think they're going to do?
Well, Belichick doesn't take my direct calls, but if I could just nab his ear, I'd please tell him to not trade down. Please don't do this to me. I want to see them bring in some
one
premier
time.
Talent. I would love to see them just bring in somebody from that. Because usually, typically, more often than not, when they go high into the draft, they're hitting on these guys. They do a pretty good job in the first round, other than if it's a wide receiver. If it's a wide receiver, forget about it. It's not going to work out. But over his tenure, he's done pretty good. He's had a solid batting average in the first round, whether it's Jerod Mayo. I think it was the last time they were that high up. I believe that was in the top 10, I think number 8 overall. And yes, you know, Sony Michel didn't work out, but that's the bottom tier. Isaiah Wynn, solid when healthy, just hasn't been healthy. That was a little bit higher in the first round there. So to me, it really depends on what we see in free agency. I think that's the first shoe that's going to drop here. If all of a sudden they don't really do anything at the quarterback position, or if they bring in a guy like Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know, as somebody that's clearly not the future, though, then you're going to look at Mac Jones. You're going to look at one of these quarterbacks that could possibly be in that area as something that they'll do. Maybe Justin Fields falls that far. You know, obviously Trevor Lawrence is gone. I think Zach Wilson's going to be gone. You know, so you're kind of talking about that next tier down of quarterbacks, but that's probably what they would do if all of a sudden, you know, you're looking at a quarterback room heading into the draft of Ryan Fitzpatrick and Jared Stidham. I can't imagine that would be the winning combination heading into 2021.
Tyler, so I'm giving you the free reign. You're the head coach here. Forget about Bill Belichick.
Yeah, actually, we should get rid of Bill.
I want to talk shit about Bill. We're not going to do that. But my question was going to be, so before any draft or anything, you see all these free agent quarterbacks out here. Which one makes the best fit to land in New England?
Well, I just actually wrote about this today, and it's a, you know, my big thing with New England would be to double down at the quarterback position. I don't think that there is a slam dunk, realistically, a slam dunk answer. I don't think that you're in the competition for Deshaun Watson. You know, he has a no trade clause. He's mentioned every other team in the AFC.
And somehow the Jets are. I don't get it.
Yeah, son of a bitch.
For some reason, he wants to go to the New York Jets. Or the Miami Dolphins. It makes a little bit more sense. I just don't understand why. But, you know, they have more draft capital. They have more assets or more attractive assets to trade. So, you know, that's just doesn't seem like a realistic opportunity. The Green Bay Packers keep saying that they're not going to get rid of Aaron Rodgers. I can't imagine that they trade the league MVP in the same year that he wins it. I just can't see it. And even if he is going to be traded, he is going to warrant way more than Deshaun Watson, I would feel like, even, you know, just because of what he can bring you immediately. Obviously, we see what Tampa Bay is doing with Brady this year, just in year one. So to me, I want them to double down at the position. What I mean by that is find a guy that is can pretty much man you for the next 2-3 years while also taking a guy with that number 15 overall pick. I don't care if it's Mac Jones. I don't care if it's Justin Fields. Whoever you want to pick in, whoever they feel like can be the next guy with some development, I want them to recreate that entire quarterback room. There was nothing I loved more than when the Patriots had Tom Brady, Jimmy Garoppolo, and Jacoby Brissett, because you could go down to QB3, and all of a sudden you have a guy that can at least win you a football game at a pinch in Jacoby Brissett. So to me, that is what I want to see them do this time around. They need to completely redo it. So what does that mean? It's probably something in the lines of a Jimmy Garoppolo, a Derek Carr. You know, you're talking about that range. It's not the sexiest of names.
Jimmy's been in the system, though. Yeah.
Things. You know, and that to me is kind of what I wrote about today. You know, talking about Jimmy Garoppolo. It almost feels like he's your only option at this point, just because you have, you know, it doesn't feel like you're going to be in the running for Deshaun Watson or Aaron Rodgers. You know, Sam Darnold's. If he shakes loose and you're interested, well, the Jets aren't going to trade him to you anyways. Not going to move him in the division. And then you start to get down to that Ryan Fitzpatrick, Mitch Trubisky tier. I don't really want anything to do with any of that.
Doubling down, and you mentioned earlier Ryan Fitzpatrick. I think Ryan Fitzpatrick is the king of doubling down.
Yeah. Oh, sure, yeah. Sure. If that's the way they want to do it, that's fine. But to me, I think that he is more of a, you know, 1 year stopgap kind of guy. If you feel like a guy like Mac Jones isn't ready, or if you want to go Kyle Trask in the second round or whatever the kind of combination is going to be at the draft, sure, you can figure it out. But to me, it's a little bit more of a Jimmy Garoppolo for the immediate, and then you find a guy for later on.
A question. So Derek Carr's obviously just put on the block. They're asking 2 firsts. They want to flip, I think, with their other 2 to get 4 firsts to get Watson, whatever it is. They're not going to get 2 firsts for Carr, I don't believe. You know, they have Mariota. So what's a realistic price to bring Derek Carr in? I actually think she's a reasonable quarterback.
I think so, too. I was just about to bring that up.
But we obviously don't have the weapons to surround him. Do we go after an Allen Robinson? I really want him on this team.
You've been saying Allen Robinson for weeks.
I would love Allen Robinson.
And if we do go Derek Carr, don't double down on quarterback. Bill's not going to take a quarterback in the first round. I don't think that will happen. It'd be cool. Mm-hmm. It'd be interesting. It'd be nice.
It'd be the most surprising thing I'd ever seen.
Yeah.
Oh,
but,
true.
Yeah. You know, Trask was an interesting name
later
to drop.
On, yeah.
He'd be a cool, you know, double down with a car or something like that. You know, but what if they did, you know, get
North
a car? What are they giving up, you know, realistically to get him, you know? Because I don't want to give up 15 for Carr even.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to do that either. And I almost wonder, you know, yeah, they're saying that they want 2 first-round picks and they want to, you know, go for this whole thing with Deshaun Watson. But what if they're able to get him without, moving Derek Carr? What if they're able to do something else and they're able to, you know, acquire more picks and all of a sudden Derek Carr becomes just another expendable piece? Well, then all of a sudden, maybe you don't need to send a ton of first-round picks. Maybe you could send them, and again, this is a lot, but we're talking about a quarterback here. Maybe it's a 2022 first rounder and a guy like J.C. Jackson, who's a restricted free agent. You know, you could do something along those lines, or, you know, that's a very valuable,
piece
they have there. And it does sound like a lot. Maybe you flip it on the other side. Maybe you invest in J.C. Jackson and you ship away Stephon Gilmore. I think that the cornerback position is going to be a little bit fluid this offseason because you kind of have to figure out where you're going to be. You're going to start to kind of bring in this new young wave with J.C. Jackson possibly as your number one corner, or are you going to kind of figure this thing out with Stephon Gilmore? I mean, he's going into next season and the last year of his contract. It looks like he's going to want to pay bump this offseason, get that thing completely redone. The Patriots have the cap space, but the question is, do they want to invest in a cornerback that's on the bad side of 30?
So I completely agree.
Yeah.
So, so all of a sudden, do you look at a team like the Raiders, who, if they're able to get Deshaun Watson, they're in win now mode. You send them over a reigning defensive player of the year in Stephon Gilmore to solidify that secondary. And also you throw a couple of first round picks, or maybe just one first round pick to boot, for Derek Carr. That makes a little bit more sense to me. If that seems like something that would probably be appealing to the Raiders if they get Deshaun Watson and they open up a Super Bowl window. That one, to me, get a proven veteran along with a draft pick, that makes a little bit more sense.
Yeah, and on the note of, like, J.C. Jackson had this great year, like, that's such another Bill Belichick move that I could so see. Like, oh, I have this guy. Why am I paying this guy this much?
Absolutely. And the fact that he's a restricted free agent, too, Belichick likes to have that. You know, he has a piece
room.
Of power yeah. there. He's not unrestricted. Mm-hmm. He's restricted. He can kind of figure it out there.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of Belichick here, so over the past couple of weeks, we've heard some criticism about him. Notably, Danny Amendola saying that, you know, the Patriot way is the Tom Brady way. And, you know, I'm big on Tom and Bill. I don't really pick a side here. But, you know, what's your kind of opinion on that criticism? And I just think, you know, I love Danny Amendola as a player. I thought he was sensational for the Pats in these clutch moments in the playoffs. But, you know, my first take of it was just shut your mouth and be thankful for what you got.
Yeah. To me, you know, with the Danny Amendola situation, I can kind of understand why he's a little bit bitter. I mean, every single year it was, oh, Danny Amendola took a pay cut. Danny Amendola took a pay cut. Now, listen, he's agreeing to all that. He's a big boy. He can make those decisions. But at the end of the day, he's trying to do it to win Super Bowls and maybe get compensated down the road. And maybe that's what he thought was going to happen. And it never did. You know, you never know what like that's going on behind the scenes. But to get back to what you were saying, you don't choose a side because you're right. You know, you have common sense. You need Brady and Belichick to do this. Yes, if you have Brady, you're probably winning a couple of Super Bowls. If you have Belichick, you're probably winning a couple of Super Bowls. They won six, cut them 3.5. I don't care what you do.
Yeah.
You needed both of them to win six. That is just lightning striking twice in New England, and they're happy. Robert Kraft is happy for it. So to me, that's kind of how I feel about the who's going to win, Brady versus Belichick. You know, I just think it's a little bit silly, and it just fills airtime more than anything else.
Yeah, or
Stephen A.
And I'm hearing these people just around the ways of New England not cheering for Brady, like going into the Super Bowl or anything. I just think it's like absolutely absurd, like.
I don't know why you can't root for him. And I honestly do think that, you know, I think it's a more of a, you know, a small majority that's a small amount of people saying that, you know what, I don't want Brady to win. I think most people are like, you know what, he gave us 20 years. If he has a great time, go ahead. You know, that's how I feel.
Oh, absolutely.
I feel like that, you know, Robert Kraft came out today and said that he, you know, that's what he's rooting for. I mean, honestly, what else is he going to say publicly if he says he's rooting against them? It's a bigger story.
Yeah, exactly. Oh,
he's rooting for rubbing tugs.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, then it's all crazy. But you know, going back to it, it's just, to me, you know, I don't think you can make a definitive point anyways when you're talking about who wins versus Brady and Belichick. Well, yeah, no kidding that Brady is going to have a better year. He went to a team that was pretty much
loaded,
stacked outside of the quarterback position. Yeah. Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, an unbelievable front seven, a solid offensive line. I mean, he was obviously going to have a more productive 2020 than the Patriots were, who were cap-strung. They didn't have a quarterback's plan or anything along those lines. What you want to see is what's going to happen over the next 5-10 years. You know, how do the Patriots respond? Mm-hmm, this offseason is going to be very interesting. So to me, you're not going to know if it was the right decision, the wrong decision to let him go, or whatever you want to call it, until both of these guys, Brady and Belichick, are retired.
Yeah,
I mean, without Bill, like the Pats this year, like that was like a 3-13 team.
Yeah, they weren't
like, just
close.
Like personnel wise,
especially with their schedule. Every team in the division.
Now looking back on it, it's like, well, could have had Zach Wilson if we went 3-13. Are you talking about, you know, all of a sudden are we in the Trevor Lawrence discussion? So, you know, you still want the elite head coach, but sometimes it bites you in the ass a little bit just because, well, you're going to start winning games if you have a good head coach.
Mm-hmm.
So switching gears, speaking of Tom Brady, he's heading in this weekend to his 10th Super Bowl, which is amazing, even just on these airwaves, heading against hosting the Super Bowl against Kansas City. I'll ask for your prediction in a little bit, but breaking down the Super Bowl, kind of who has the advantage going into this game? I mean, you have a guy who's been in there, done that before with kind of a cast besides Gronk, who's never been there. And then you have a whole team on the other side who was just there last season.
Yeah, I do think that's interesting. You know, you talk about the experience standpoint. I think everybody points to, like you're saying, like, oh, Brady's been there 10 times. The Buccaneers are experienced. Well, no. I mean, there was a story literally, you know, the last couple of days where Brady had to yell at a couple of Buccaneers players to stop crying because they won the NFC.
Come on, guys.
That is not the point of playing professional football. You need to win the Super Bowl, not just your conference. So, you know, that is something to take account for. I mean, you know, the whole thing about the Kansas City Chiefs was that they were bringing all these guys back. They had a crazy offseason where they were able to extend Patrick Mahomes, extend Travis Kelce, and bring the whole band back together to try to go get another one. And so that's a huge aspect of this. Now, obviously, it helps a little bit that they're going to be at Raymond James Stadium. So it's, you know, very normal for a lot of these guys. And I do think the COVID situation kind of helps Tampa Bay in that regard. It kind of loses a little bit of that, oh my goodness, this is the Super Bowl. You're just kind of like, well, no one's around anyways. Yeah, there's a few more reporters and I have to do a few more interviews, but at the end of the day, it's just kind of another week here in Tampa. Like, it's not, you know, it doesn't, I don't know if it has that same feel. So to me, I don't know if the experience thing weighs as much, but I do think that it's relatively interesting going into this. In terms of like who actually from a game standpoint has the advantage, I do think it's interesting in one regard. And if we're talking about maybe an edge that Kansas City has, is that Brady, obviously we know him up here as a guy that's going to slice and dice you, death by a million paper cuts kind of a passer.
Yeah.
But it really hasn't been the case in Tampa Bay this year. It's kind of been one of those Bruce Arian style offenses where we're going to chug it deep and it's just going to be all about it. Brady has his career high in air yards this year. He's thrown it further than he ever has. And in the postseason, it's double. I think it's like 11 yards per pass attempt through the air. So it's just absolutely insane. We saw it in the NFC Championship with that Scotty Miller thing. The thing that you have to watch out.
That was the game. Yeah.
Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Absolute dagger. Beautiful. But the thing you got to watch out for here is that the Kansas City Chiefs actually played the deep ball extremely well.
Yeah, so they got that's safeties over thing. The top. Yep.
That's one thing that I think you have to watch for here is, yeah, they might try to win it deep, but Kansas City's kind of got a secondary that really doesn't conduce to a winning formula there for Tampa.
Not to mention, like, all three Tom Brady picks, I think, were all, like, basically punts, if you want to. Yeah, exactly. We're talking about deep balls here.
Oh, yeah. Especially that third one. That was an absolute.
Not great. Not great. He's been inaccurate sometimes. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
So
I look good doing it.
Yeah.
Of course. Handsome.
That's all that matters.
So Tampa's had a crazy, you know, playoff run. The Washington game was an easy game, but once you go into it, you know, Drew Brees and the Saints who've kind of dominated them all year.
You mean Taylor Heineke is not in the same breath as Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers?
He played great. He was great.
I think he's better.
I didn't even know his name going into it.
Brees right now.
Yeah. But getting by Rodgers, you know, getting to the Super Bowl for the 10th time, just – how much does this speak to not just Tom Brady, but, you know, all these Tampa Bay Buccaneers buying into this, saying we're going to make it the first year? I still can't believe it. I'm shocked that they're there.
It's absolutely insane. And I actually remember writing about this at the time that Brady was leaving, is that, you know, as much as we all were just talking about how, you know, they needed both of them to have this sustained success. Brady's the greatest of all time and all that's still true. Him leaving New England did open himself up for those criticisms to be like, if he doesn't play well, well, maybe it was Belichick. It's all the things that people are saying about Belichick now would just be on the flip side about Brady if he didn't do well in Tampa Bay. What I think is remarkable is that Tampa Bay is historically the worst franchise in sports.
Yeah.
They stink. They have a terrible winning percentage. I believe it's in like the 300s. It's the worst in NFL history out of all teams currently. And again, they were an expansive team, but we're not talking about wins. We're talking about winning percentage. And they absolutely have been terrible. They have not made the playoffs since 2007. They haven't won a Super Bowl since 2002. And all of a sudden, one year, Brady completely shifts the culture on its head and turns it into New England self. That, to me, is what's amazing. That, to me, is what really you can say about Tom Brady. Yes, you know, he is, you know, a great quarterback and all that stuff, but he completely can change a culture in a year's time. That, to me, is what I think might be his greatest achievement in Tampa Bay. So
I'm hard.
Unless he wins.
All because it's 75 degrees and Tampa Bay in February.
Have you checked real estate? It was a cool ship that shoots cannons. That was it. That was the
has anyone franchise. Checked real estate down there? It's pretty fucking cheap, boys.
They can't even shoot that off in the Super Bowl. How
yeah, no, that's nonsense. Absolute
it's
bullshit.
We're supposed to have a home Super Bowl. It's supposed to be a novelty. We can't even shoot off some stupid cannons when a team, you know, scores a touchdown. I think that that's a little ridiculous. It I is. Understand the neutral site, but we're not a neutral site. We're in Tampa.
I would 100% get fired and shoot those cannons during the game. I would pull the trigger. There's no way you would stop. First touchdown, you're shooting the cannons, 100%.
Tyler, so at the end of the day, I think this is going to be probably the biggest QB matchup in the history of football,
yeah,
if not
ever, yeah.
Yeah, potentially ever. What do you think the winning team of this game, what do you think it's going to come down to? I know this. I think there's going to be a lot of points.
Before he goes, I think it's the O-line for Kansas City. I think that's 100%. The difference of the game.
You stole the words right out of my mouth. It's how these teams deal with pressure. And Brady typically, you know, when you look at the numbers, hasn't been great under pressure this year. You know, when you look at the stats, he is a top 10 quarterback statistically all across the board when he's not pressured. When he's pressured, he's at the bottom of the league, 27, 25th, 31st. It's just not it's a clear drop off. When you have Patrick Mahomes, he's pretty much the same guy when he's pressured and when he's not. The only thing is now he's playing with an offensive line of scrubs in the Super Bowl. There are a bunch of journeymen and day three picks when you have all those guys now out due to injury. So to me, I don't even care if he plays well under pressure. It's can the offensive line even hold it? So it's not even pressure. It's just that he's completely taken out of the game. So to me, it's just how the offensive lines deal with it. One, how can they protect Brady to, you know, just avoid Chris Jones and all those guys, Frank Clark and all that. But on the flip side, can the Kansas City offensive line hold enough for Patrick Mahomes to be Patrick Mahomes?
See, I think in like the Tampa sense too, these guys like Scotty Miller and Antonio Brown and even the running backs catching balls out of the backfield are going to come up so big because you know what Brady likes to do and he likes to get that ball out quick. I mean, going back to his New England days.
Yeah, 100%. You know, and I assume the next question is who is going to win the Super Bowl, and I'll just lead right into it. For some reason, I don't know why, everything points to Kansas City just being the more talented team. But it almost reminds me, and I've been saying this a lot recently, is this reminds me of 2007 for some reason, where it's super talented team that on far? One side, prolific offense, but then you have this random New York Giants team that just keeps on winning through the most bizarre ways possible. They just keep pulling it out. They can make mistakes, throw three interceptions, but they still somehow win. And I kind of look at that like the Buccaneers, where it's like, you know what? Tom Brady didn't like play great in that second half. They really kind of, in that NFC Championship game, he threw three interceptions. A couple of them were pretty bad, like we were saying, but it didn't matter. They still win. And so to me, I almost feel like it's just kind of one of those things where we have this, you know, stupid team of destiny thing with Tampa Bay. They're in their home stadium. For some reason, I just have this gut feeling that Brady pulls it out.
First of all, I agree with you there. But second of all, you comparing Eli Manning to Tom Brady is a cardinal sin.
It's a sin. It's a sin is what it is. It grew up
in my mouth.
The New England gods strike me down right now. I understand completely. But if it gets Brady a seventh title, I'll say whoever.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you not have
Myers
this feeling?
Throwing a touchdown to Cam Newton. I don't care what
though,
it is.
But of speaking of 07, though, of like, all right. There's going to be a ton of pressure on Mahomes. He's going to be scrambling. He's going to be fucking making these ridiculous plays of running and just no looking. And he's just going to make an absolutely outrageous play where he keeps the play alive. Travis Kelce is, you know, 30 yards down the field. He fucking throws it with his right hand or his left hand. Yeah. And he catches it backwards or something. And it's just going to ruin our night. That's what's like in my head right now. Like the David Tyree just... The other way
oh,
around.
Oh, so you're saying the 07 the other way around.
I really think
that's even worse.
Yeah. I think you have to relive it again.
What the fuck's going on here? I think New England covers.
I will not put money on New England winning. I keep saying New England. Tom Brady.
Either way. Your job involves gambling. Any prop bets we need to know about, or is it like is it DFS
oh, can I,
or
can
is
I
it...
give him? Can I give him my list of my prop
Let's
bets?
Let's do it. Let's get on
it. All right. All right.
First of all, over under on the national anthem. That's
my first. Okay, I am dead set, locked in, second milk challenge myself under. It's a duet. Duets go faster. The last duet to go was Aretha Franklin, who has pipes, so that doesn't count. She went 2 minutes and 8 seconds. We have Gaga, Alicia Keys, and Luke Bryan are the only three in the last 10 years to go over. Two of those pipes. Luke Bryan, asshole. This is going way under. This Eric Church guy's afraid to sing with whatever this lady is. They're going to go a little
These
bit more.
These 20 prop bets are going to take like 4 hours.
We're going under here. What do you think?
But have you heard Eric Church? He's the slowest singer.
Fuck.
And I think
all that research is good. He didn't even listen to this guy.
Eric Church. I was like, oh, he is going to take this thing slow. I was like, he is one of those guys that sings Amazing Grace in about 45 minutes. I don't know about that. I just feel, you know, there's something to be said for the duet part of it where it's like, he might want to just kind of go at the same pace as the other one.
She's like a church singer, a gospel singer.
I think it would lead right into the weekend halftime show if he was still singing.
All right,
which I'm excited about. The weekend's going to put on a hell of a halftime show.
Tyler, what's your top prop bet of the night?
I think my top one, or at least the one that I'm most interested in for the biggest payout, is Tyreek Hill first touchdown. I think I saw it on DraftKings at +1600. That one I really, really think is a significant possibility. Obviously, we remember the last time they played in Week 12, he had like 200 yards in 2 seconds. He hasn't scored. He hasn't scored recently. I think that he's probably due. I think Kansas City, if they, you know, whenever they get the ball first offensively, I think they're going to want to try to get a lead early, which means chuck it deep to Tyreek Hill, see if you can still have success through the air there. Wouldn't surprise me if he rips one off early.
And Tampa Bay's notoriously slow starters. I feel like Tom Brady, whether he gets the ball or Kansas City gets the ball, Tom Brady's going 3-0 in that first drive.
Not even notoriously slow starters in the postseason or anything like that. But if we all remember, Brady's kind of slow to start in these Super Bowls.
Super Bowls every time.
We all talk about how Brady is, you know, winning all that time. He's not particularly great in that first quarter. So if all of a sudden you have Brady kind of being typical Brady in the first quarter of Super Bowls, and then I could see Tampa Bay's entire rest of the team kind of having the lights be a little too bright to start the game. Like, yeah, you could see that.
Is that the stat, though? Like, I don't think he's ever scored a point in the first quarter. Is that
That's true. Yeah, there's something really? Like that. Yeah. Honestly, all I remember goals, is him throwing that safety. And that's the only thing that I remember is him throwing the safety early in that, or the intentional grounding that turned into a safety. And I was like, oh. Few Super Bowls ago, that one to me, I couldn't get over that one.
My prop bet of the night is Cameron Brate anytime TD.
I knew it was. Yeah,
he came up big. He came up big. He did it. He did it last week. He won big time last week.
That one to me.
I didn't get a prop bet of the night. I was just listening.
You're gonna get one. Wait your turn. Right. Now go, Anton.
My prop bet of the night is. Obviously, with this offensive line, it's over 1.5 sacks by the Bucs. It's -200. It's not sexy. It's nothing but like that.
No, but it almost feels like a guaranteed winner. Yeah. I mean, the Buccaneers led the league in pressures this year. They get after the quarterback. I totally could see that one, no doubt.
And then I do have KC minus 0.5 in the first quarter. I think that's an easy.
Oh, yeah, they're fast starters. Love that. I like that too. That's a good one.
Heads or tails. I mean, if you haven't decided that in the second grade and stuck with it since, like, I don't trust you.
It's unbelievable. You know, I'm basically my father's bookie because he doesn't know how to work a DraftKings app, and so he's like, we were up in his house in New Hampshire. You know, he's feeling pretty good one of these days up in April. And he's like, you know what, Tommy's gonna do it. Tommy's gonna win the NFC. He's gonna go to the Super Bowl. I'm like, okay. I was like, put your money where your mouth is. He put $100 on the thing back in April. All of a sudden, won $350. Actually, surprisingly, not great odds.
I was going to say, that's surprising.
It was surprisingly
my brother-in-law hit better odds than that. But neither
here nor there. He wins the $350, wants nothing to do with the $350, and wants to put it on tails.
I got tails.
I am so in on tails now. I so, that would have changed me
so
from
it has
heads
to be tails now. If it's not tails, he's gonna be sorry.
I would. You just.
I'm gonna be thinking of it just for you.
Oh my god!
Leave, boys.
Unbelievable.
All right, fine. Last most famous prop bet: Gatorade color. If you say red, we're deleting this interview.
I don't think it's gonna be red. I think it's probably. I don't know.
It's blue.
It's not gonna be red because there's too much red.
Yeah, exactly.
Yellow.
There's too much red everywhere.
Last two out of three. Last two out of three. Tom Brady wins are blue. I'm taking blue. Or
you know
clear.
What?
That's a big win.
I like that. I don't know why I thought orange though.
Orange is the favorite.
Orange is in my head.
Orange is the favorite. I don't get it. I don't understand it.
Well, I'm thinking like
I'm missing something.
Like Buccaneers creamsicle uniforms. Oh, if they win, I'm old school. I'm in that mode. I don't know why.
That jumped to the favorite fast. So
that's interesting.
Huh. Yeah, the blue's 800. Water clear is 800. Reds, I think, plus 250.
Well, Brady's
plus
a weirdo, so he might just put water in there.
No, but he's two out of three blue. His last two out of three wins have been
might
blue.
Might be some like avocado mixies or something in there.
Green?
Yeah. Do they have like a cucumber color?
I think it's like a purple green mix. They just give you. They just combine the two colors because it's not gonna happen.
I like it.
I'll end it on this, Tyler. So. Final score prediction. I know you said Tampa, but what's the score?
I think that Tampa probably, you know, I think Tampa wins. They're getting points. Doesn't really matter in terms of, you know, I think, you know, I don't think Kansas City's covering, obviously. I think it's going to be a tight game. I don't think it's going to be one of those, you know, blowouts or whatever, anything like that. I do think it's going to come down to probably a touchdown, though. I don't think it's one of these like Adam Vinatieri field goal games. I think you're going to look at probably. You're probably looking at a 33-27 game or something along those lines. That's kind of what it feels like. And I don't love saying that about Kansas City because they can put up 35 points in a quarter. Yeah, so I look like an idiot the second that they score 27. It's just in the third quarter. But for me, it just feels like Tampa has been pretty opportunistic with turnovers these last few games. It's really hard to beat a team two times in the same year. I just have a feeling somewhere, some way, Tampa finds a way.
I'll tell you, talking about Kansas City's offense, I still have like nightmares from that. What's a Houston game? I had Houston that game.
Oh,
it was 24-0, and then all of a sudden they were winning by halftime or something crazy.
Like that.
They
did it.
Didn't they do that like three straight games?
Yeah, but that was the most horrifying one I've ever seen. I was like, this is insane.
You can hear the fear in that.
Tyler, really appreciate you coming on, man. Best of luck with everything in the future. And yeah, go Bucks.
No problem, guys. Have a good one.
Have a good one, buddy. Enjoy the game.
That was CBS NFL writer Tyler Sullivan coming on the show. You know, some great analysis about Patriots and, you know, the Super Bowl coming in. We have our picks right now. What did you think of that interview, Steele?
Great stuff.
So now, I mean... You kind of know what boat I'm on. I think this is going to be such a great game. I mean, this is going to be a game for the ages. I talked about probably the best two quarterback duo going at it in a Super Bowl of all time. You got the new school with the old school. But I think at the end of the day, old school conquers new school. And I know that's just a saying, but when you got a guy who's been to the Super Bowl now 10 times in a row, it's going to come down in the fourth quarter. And then, like you said, the offensive lines are going to be big. I'm taking Tampa 34-28. It's going to be an all-out slugfest. And I don't even think Tampa's going to have the lead most of the game.
Who'd you pick?
My bad.
Tampa, yeah.
41-38 Bucks. Tom Brady all day. Let's go.
Great analysis.
That's it. I have been on the Bucks bandwagon to win the Super Bowl since like it was became clear that the Patriots sucked. And today, this Sunday, is when it comes to fruition and it all happens. Devin White's going to have a great game on defense, might force a fumble, maybe even get a pick.
So we have the same Super Bowl MVP.
Devin White?
Tom Brady.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, like, that. Yeah. Yep. They're going to win the Super Bowl. He's going to be MVP. Yep. Unless something crazy happens.
I have...
Yikes.
I hate that I have to say this. I have.
Why don't you get going, kid?
22-19 Chiefs.
If it's 22-19 Chiefs, I'm going to blow my brains up.
What a Rays
fan
pick.
What a horrible game. Yeah, that is a Rays fan pick.
And it goes against every single bet I've made.
I just
and,
love.
And I've just right been thinking tonight. I've listened to all the callers. And
you know what, though? This all happened when you were like, oh, the. National anthem is gonna go under, and then when Tyler was just like, "Nah, this dude, the church guy. He sings slow. Like, you are so far in your own head right now. I've seen it since then.
I know. Because every pick I have, if you look at my props, go against everything I just said. Well, I do have a lot of chips.
If anyone's brought up even a slightly weird, I don't know why you locked in your bets like so fucking early.
This is on my notes.
You said they were all locked in.
Yeah, they are. But
I don't know.
Happens.
I feel like you got to wait till like game day.
No, because then the odds change. The odds change
on an over under for the
and everything.
Yeah, everything can change.
You want to get really? Right?
All right, yeah. Fair enough. I don't know. Well, Matt, you locked in a bunch of fucking over a bunch of bets that. Obviously, you don't love. So we'll see what happens. Should be an interesting Sunday.
I'm just pretzeled. It happens.
Yeah.
I'm more
Super Bowl Sunday. There's a lot going on.
Yeah. Best part about
Super Bowl. If you think this is the last of my bets,
there's a whole other notes page coming in.
Best part Maybe about three. Super Bowl Sunday is watching it with Anton because he's either winning or losing all game long. It's great. Well, it's more entertaining than the game.
What I'm so upset about the under right now is that sets the tone for the night. That sets literally the tone for the entire night. You get that wrong, you're down. You're down to start.
I agree, yeah.
And then you get heads or tails wrong. It's a 50-50 crapshoot. Again, thank God I'm on tails. Thank God I'm on tails with the father.
The amount of times you're going to have to text your bookie of just like, yeah, I need more credit. I need more credit.
Yeah, help.
There's 50 bets, and I need more. We're going to go to Magic here, though. I think I know who he's going to pick, but give me some analysis, kid. I need it.
Give me Tommy. I don't got any real reasons other than Tampa Bay is the new title town, and I'm heading down there once they win this. I'm heading down for the parade.
See you at the parade.
Right. I'll be at the parade.
I'll see you at the Rays parade.
Yeah, well, sure, next year.
When we're all dead? Yeah. When that'll never happen.
No, next year's the Rays year.
Title town.
It is.
This year title was town. The Rays year. It ain't happening.
Randy, hey,
we're
fuck
on football.
Em.
My analysis is the momentum is shifted down there.
I don't like that at all.
Had to get him going. Had to get him going.
We got Archer back.
So we got all Tampa besides Anton here. And, you know, everyone fades Anton anyway. So let's go Tampa. Yeah, now we're going to go to some calls from some local Quincy legends. And let's ride. So our first caller here, Nicky Lepore calling in from Dorchester. What's going on, pal?
Hey, not much. Thanks for having me.
Anytime, local Housenack legend.
Of course.
Buddy lives in Dorchester now. He wanted to make that clear.
It's okay.
No, yeah. Well, new beginnings.
We're here now. Hey, so we'll get to it. Nick, who do you like in the Super Bowl?
Chiefs. Chiefs and the points.
Chiefs and the points. Can you give me a final prediction score? What's your analysis here? I want to hear it.
So I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. Both these offenses are ready to play. I think 37-27 Chiefs.
Oh, do you hate Gronk?
No, I'm a big Gronk guy, but I just think the Chiefs have too much. Like, who's going to? I don't like Tyreek Hill, but they don't have anyone who's going to cover Tyreek Hill.
Believe in Antoine Winfield Jr.
You just
got
to believe, man. You got to believe.
I don't believe in this Bucs team. I believe in Mahomes.
I believe in number 12.
Yeah, you know who's under center for this Bucs team?
I've heard of him.
All right, at least once or twice. Progress.
Yep. We're playing take or fade, and I'm going to fade this pick.
You're fading my pick?
Yep.
Are you kidding me?
If you give me a good explanation.
He almost convinced me. I'm not going to lie. he almost did.
He really almost did. Tyreek Hill went for 200 yards. Like, who is going to be the guy that's going to cover Tyreek Hill?
Play his safety over the top, eliminate him out.
No way. He went for 200 last time. He's probably going to go for 150 this game.
And they had 2 weeks to prepare for him. I think they're going to have a little bit better game plan than they did back in the regular season.
They have so many other weapons, too. They have Kelce. They have Hardman. They have Watkins. They have Lev Bell. They have all these guys who are just going to come out. I mean, the Chiefs' offense is so explosive.
I think not named Tom Brady.
The Bucs are going to score their points, but at the end of the day, I don't think that they can stop the Chiefs from scoring theirs.
Nick, we really appreciate the call, buddy.
Hey, Nick. Nick, I'll see you at the Yankees parade in October.
Yes, you will.
DJ LeMay, you baby, let's go.
We're back.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me, boys.
Thanks, buddy. So, Nicky Knuckles calling in from Wollaston. What's going on, pal?
What's up, buddy? Nazi and Steel, long time, first time. What's up, baby?
Let's fucking get it, buddy. Let's get it.
Hey, Big B's win last night, but we're here to talk the Super Bowl tonight.
Yeah, it was a good win. I'm still a little nervous about the defense, the back end there. But, I mean, they got a couple good wins lately. So it's something to be optimistic about, definitely.
Absolutely. Who do you like in Sunday's game here, Tampa, Kansas City?
It's a tough one. You know, you can't go against Brady. You know, he's the GOAT. He's going for seven. And the funny thing is, the Patrick Mahomes is fucking Peyton Manning 2.0. That's all he is. He's the poster child of the NFL. He's going to be starting for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders in about 2 years.
Let's go.
Yeah, this kid.
That's a compliment, by the way.
Buddy, he's going to be playing at the Garvey Park flag football Sunday mornings in about 2 years. He's all hype. Tom Brady tried and tested. He's going for seven. You know what? They have the audacity to not even call him the GOAT. Half the people, they don't even call him the GOAT. They say Aaron Rodgers, Philip Rivers. I'm like, are you fucking stupid? It's fucking unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. But, hey, I got a question for you, Naz, if you don't mind.
What's going on?
Hypothetically speaking.
Yep.
If Brady wins, does he pull a 2001 Ray Bork and bring the Lombardi back to Boston?
He should. He really.
He had the parade.
He doesn't have the kahunas like Ray Bork did, but man, yo, you remember those?
The amount of slander you talk about him, Naz. He might do that.
What?
He might drag his balls back here with that Lombardi.
No, he won't. Not a chance.
I'd smack Bill Belichick with it when I do it too.
Mickey Knuckles came in. That was an A plus question.
It was.
It was an A plus.
Hey, I got another one for you.
Go ahead, Arthur Fleck.
I've heard it. You know, I've heard it's your show. You know, long time, first time. I'm a big fan. And you guys, almost every episode, you guys talk about this. A lot of people in the Boston sports world talk about this. You know, they talk about Bill. There's no Tom without Bill. There's no Bill without Tom. But and you guys bring it up all the time. What about Logan Mankins? Without Logan Mankins, there is no Tom Brady. The 6'5". Left tackle, Fresno State, 32nd overall, 2005 draft. The guy's fucking unbelievable, and they don't make him like that anymore.
No one would even know Tom's name.
I couldn't agree more.
Tom would be, he'd be fucking nobody. He'd be back in fucking San Mateo, like doing whatever it is he's
selling
doing.
Selling car insurance. Yeah. We going to see you Chirp Anderson this NHL playoffs?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. He's a fucking loser. You can tell him I said that. And I hope he could be listening. If he's listening, tell him I said he's a loser. Hey, I gotta go. I got a 10-ounce New York strip at the Irish.
Yes! We'll see you there.
Hey, Nicky, you will be on again. Thanks a lot, pal.
All right, brother. Hey, peace.
So here's Chris Kingsley, former Quincy native. Moved out, still comes back. What's going on, kid?
Not much, Nazzy. Just settling into my new apartment in Arizona. I know you didn't even know I was out.
Oh,
here,
uh-oh. Uh-oh, the West Coast.
Scottsdale?
Yeah. Phoenix.
Jimmy's brother?
Phoenix, nice. I'll be there next month.
Yeah. That's right.
That's Magic, right. That's so, Magic Mike, just, by the way, if you didn't
know. Let me tell you how this game's going to go down.
Let's hear it.
Chiefs are going to get penetration right up the middle. You know I like that. Tom Brady's going to have nowhere to go.
Okay.
Chiefs are going to win by 3 scores.
I'm going to fade you on that one.
A big fade.
All right, tell me what you think.
You can't bet against number 12. I think you ride with the hot team. Kansas City has shown at the end of the season that they're not the same team they were last year with their playoff run. I think this has Tom Brady 7 written all over it. I can't wait.
Oh, I'm pulling for him. I hope he comes through. The thing is, it's just that offense is lethal. And if you get any kind of pressure on him up the middle, I mean, he's done.
That penetration could be killing.
No, not to mention he'll light it. Tom Brady will light it up for a half, and then the next half is like he was looking like Cam Newton.
Yeah,
you're not wrong there, but this is the Super Bowl. This is a Super Bowl. This is different.
This is different.
They're playing at home. The wife and kids aren't there.
You got any thoughts? Yeah,
could Mahomes' little brother be a factor at all in this with the weekend at the halftime show? I think Mahomes' brother is going to fuck something up.
Listen, if he shows his face at the halftime, I'm going to switch my pick right now.
Oh, you know they're going to. They're going to show him. He'll be TikTok.
I'll go with TB12. If he shows
just
his
just know
face,
who you're betting with. Yeah, know who you're betting Jackson with. Mahomes is a jackass. Tom Brady has Giselle. I know what kind of guy you are. You like the foreign woman.
It's a legitimate guy.
Come on, Kingsley. Fucking stop thinking with your brain and think with your dick.
Yeah, you guys.
Who
right.
gets you hard, Tom or fucking Mahomes? I know the answer to that.
Oh, Tom Brady all day.
Thank you.
Tom Brady all day.
Chris, thanks for joining the show. Best of luck in Arizona. I didn't even know you were out there.
I know. Thanks, Naz. I'll talk to you later.
So we have Grandmaster Naz here from Quincy. Nice to hear from you. How's it going tonight?
Good. How's it going, Adam?
Good. We got Steele, Maddie here, and Mike.
How are we doing tonight?
Good. How you boys doing?
We're doing fantastic. Good. You know, after a nice Bruins comeback, I mean, Tuukka Rask kept us on our feet, but...
Yeah, I guess.
I had to poke fun at that right away.
I have one question, actually, for the Grandmaster. How does it feel to ride a? How does it feel to ride the fence so hard?
No, God, who's that? That's Steven's bitch.
Oh, fuck.
So let's get down to it. So who do you got in the Super Bowl, Grandmaster?
I got the Bucks.
Got the
let's
Bucks.
Let's go. 31. Yes,
Grandmaster. As I'm also the Grandmaster, Mike. If you bet on the Chiefs, I would have bet. Solely the Grandmaster nickname on that game, but unfortunately, you picked the fucking Bucks.
Nah, we got 20 years of winning with Brady. I don't see how you could bet against him.
No,
can't do it.
Well, you
fucking sin.
You give us that's a final final score.
Yeah, 35-31.
35-31. I like that.
Can I also just this is personal. Tell Steven to suck it.
I sure will.
How many touchdown passes from Brady?
I'm thinking three.
Three?
Yeah.
And he catches by Gronk?
He's going to run one. That's a good
he's going to run one?
Love
one.
That.
The Brady over 0.5 rushing yards prop is a great prop.
Yeah, that's easy. Yeah. I think.
That's a reckless.
I hope they win. I hope they win and he has a yard and then he has to take a knee so he like loses a yard.
That's the only thing that scares me there is the knees at the end.
Yeah.
You always got to think about it.
That would end my gambling career. If that one, no. That would end it.
That's all it takes.
Yeah, I'm not like you. I'm not built different.
Grandmaster Naz, always appreciate the call. I'll see you soon.
Hey, you guys.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Yep. Bye.
Hello there.
Hey, look who answers their phone but can't show up to the studio.
Well, you know, when you're living the life that I'm living and you're doing the things I'm doing, you can't make every single podcast.
James, who do you got?
Well, here's the thing, guys. I look at it like this. I bet against Tom Brady in the wild card. I bet against Tom Brady in the divisional round. I bet against Tom Brady in the conference championship.
We get it. You're a loser.
Yeah. You know you could have won money in all those games, right?
And it's because of that, I'm going with Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Oh, fuck, we lost.
Will you milk it? Will you milk it? Will you milk it? Will you milk it?
Gallon of milk on the line.
Look out!
Milk is undefeated, just letting you know.
Yeah.
Milk,
is, milk
is on a winning streak.
Brady's going to save me a gallon of milk. I know it.
If the milk bet wins, you can milk someone else. That's not really that fair.
No.
That's diabolical. Yeah. That plan
and
sucks.
It sounded a little weird that we're talking about milking each other.
James, yeah. You got anything else?
Well, no. I just think it's very Alex Guerrero-ish that the barber of the Chiefs got COVID and gave half haircuts to all the Chiefs players. I think that's very suspicious. And that's even more reason to go for Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
That's a big factor.
That haircut was too perfect.
None of them have COVID.
Everything he's saying in his head, he's saying the opposite. He's doing this to manipulate us right now.
You're damn right.
I don't
wait.
Like
that
it.
Story didn't happen. What did it happen?
No,
to the Bucks.
No, the barber had COVID.
Well, if he bets on them and I make Richie bet on the Chiefs, then we're just a mush.
There was two.
Yeah,
players.
Then it's like the Pats
are off.
The Pats might win at that point.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. We'll see.
Guys, I think we all can agree that we're all going to win because we're going to be able to listen to the greatest commentator of all time, Tony Anthony Romo, call another great game.
The fact that you know if that's his middle name, like, you deserve the Medal of Merit.
Yeah.
Of course it is.
What was it?
Anthony.
I mean, I guess we
Anthony
know.
Anthony Romo.
We know both of Tom Brady's, really? But Tom Brady's an actual great quarterback.
Legend.
So it's true. Anthony Romo is what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to say bye, James. We'll see you later. We got legend Rick Beach from Quincy here. What's going on?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
Good, good. We're just sitting around the table here thinking about who's going to win the Super Bowl. What do you think?
I think there's only one guy. It's been the nine of them. I think he's going to win maybe his seventh.
I think so, too.
Let's go.
Anything behind that thought process?
I mean, honestly, the guy's just, you know, how about the stat they put up that Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees have both won one NFC championship, and then Tom Brady rolls into town, one NFC conference game, one championship. I mean, it's just crazy. He's the greatest ever. I mean, if that doesn't lock up his legacy, I mean, even if he doesn't win a Super Bowl, I mean, he goes to the whole different conference and goes all the way to the Super Bowl. I mean, it's just crazy to people who hate on him.
Yeah,
he ran through it. Brees,
gets the
Rogers,
team to believe in him, yeah.
You know, I mean, did you see what Danny Amendola said? It's
yeah.
The Patriot way.
Yeah,
it's
loser.
Brady's way.
He's a clown.
I mean, it really is just crazy how great he really is.
Oh,
so,
it's
I mean,
unbelievable. We also had another thing to ask you, too. How do we negotiate with your son's softball contract in order for him to stay for the next 20 years?
Could be 30.
It could be 30? Well, you're going to have to wait a year or two because he's up at Westfield getting his master's, but hopefully
we'll catch him in the summer, right? We'll catch him in the summer?
Be.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah, he's up there getting his master's and being a grad assistant. Hopefully they have baseball up there this year, but who knows?
Yeah, I know. It's crazy stuff. Well, Rick, I appreciate you for taking the time tonight. And, like you said, go Bucks.
All day, baby. Let's go. One more time.
Yep.
Thanks.
All right, brother. Be safe.
Yep. Now we got Tyler Costa from Quincy here calling in, former Gardner Minshew. What's going on?
How you doing? Longtime fan.
Yeah, Gardner Minshew, baby. What's good?
Hey, what's up? I heard you guys are only doing in-calls tonight. How much? I mean, I want to steal a Naz in call. You know, if I can't get a Rebentine from one of you guys, I'm going to get a magical one from Mike.
Get to your football pick.
Yeah, who do you got for the Super Bowl? And then we'll jerk you off.
I'm Kansas City, fellas. You know what? Patriots aren't in it. Tom Brady's on another team. I think Patrick Mahomes is better than him by far. Been in this game. Super Bowl champ. No big deal.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Would you win it if you were in it, Gardner?
Is that even a question?
Yeah. Next year, 40-0. Gardner Minshew, let's go.
Nobody would be able to get me down if I was in the Super Bowl. I'd be fucking winning.
Exactly, because you'd still be 7 inches off the ground, hard.
Hard as a rock still. Even though I'm in the offseason. even though I lost, I'm still hot. I'm fucking still hot. You know?
Yes, sir.
There's never been a time where I have not been hot. Like, I was in Walmart earlier, you know, and, like, I passed, like, the frozen food section, and I saw these corn dogs were on sale. I bought them. I had a boner when I bought them, too.
All right, we're going to let you go, Dad. All
right, dude. Good luck with that
good
boner.
Shit time.
So that was a bit of a maze from different Quincy characters. You know, showed a lot of spunk. What do you think of the calls, guys? That was our first time doing it. I thought that was a good experience.
Loved it. Amazing. Great stuff all around.
Who do you think was the best one?
It's hard to say.
I think it's Nicky Knuckles. I mean, the kid came ready to play.
Yeah.
It wasn't the kid's first rodeo.
Has Fury ever not been ready to go?
I thought it was that kid Jimmy. I don't know who he is, but he sucks.
Yeah. Tony Romo's middle name. Fuck him.
And he was wrong.
I will give him credit. When I called him out, I was like, you actually know it. He rode with it. He was like, yes, I did.
I believe it.
He probably does.
Yeah,
honestly, trivia night, I would have wrote down whatever he said.
Tony Anthony Romo.
That's what, yeah, it's like, dude.
Well, it's Antonio. No,
it's Antonio Romero Romo, which is still terrible. I mean, I don't know.
The
guy just sucks in every imaginable way. But Nicky Knuckles, if there was a professional job for calling in anything on shows,
Steve Robinson's
that guy's making $100,000 a year. Yeah. Nicky Knuckles is,
yep.
And then he's eating it he's ditching it away for a nice $12.95 steak dinner at the Irish pub.
Speaking of making the big bucks, Magic, I'm going to turn it over to you with our big-time shout-outs, our first one of the night. Who's it going to?
We're going to – this is my hot take, my Brockton Fire hot take. We bring the heat to Lights Out Lang. Lights Out Lang's coming with the heat tomorrow night. Weigh-ins for Rough and Rowdy are tonight. I'm watching them kind of right now on Instagram. Big fight for Lights Out Lang tomorrow. He's 4-0. Go 5-0, he's fighting Trapzilla.
Co-main event.
Co-main event.
Can we do a quick Lights Out Lang versus Trapzilla and Canseco versus Billy Football? Pick them real quick.
Yeah, we should.
Oh, Lights Out Lang.
Lights Out Lang and Billy.
Oh, I think Canseco might fucking knock. I think Canseco might literally fucking kill him.
There is a legitimate chance that Canseco just like sends his fucking head to the moon. I'm shocked. That would be awesome, but I'm not going to pick him.
I think Billy Football's ready.
Did you see the interview? I'm all in Canseco. I'm Canseco.
Is everyone here?
He said he's going to spend $100,000 to take Alex Cooper on a date.
All right.
That's it?
Yeah, she's going to be like, that's chump change or something, knowing how she talks, but...
Is she?
Probably, 100%.
$100,000?
She used to date Noah Syndergaard.
I know. Yeah, it's true.
Thor.
That was before you got
convicted. Those hot girls, call her daddy, $100,000, that's like pennies. That's pennies. And he's an old fucking steroided ass. I hope he gets knocked out tomorrow. Go Billy. Go fucking Lights Out Lang.
More importantly, let's go Bobby Lights Out Lang.
Everyone's picking him.
I mean, you want to talk about the next one? That kid's all about it.
All about it.
You know what my favorite knockout of Lights Out Lang is? The next one.
Boom.
Yep. Or the first one.
Next time he comes on the show, I'm going to get him for that. What's your favorite belt? He's going to have three belts, and he's not even going to say any of them.
Yeah, I can't wait to see it. I can't wait for his next time at this table. We're bringing the beers, Bobby. We're bringing the beers. Go get it. Go get glory tomorrow, brother.
Yep. The second shout-out I will bring up is after 14 years with the Boston Red Sox, second baseman Dustin Pedroia is retiring. I just want to give him a good send out. He's my favorite player of all time. You know, growing up, big role model to me. You know, small guys don't finish last. According to him, they finish first.
He should have retired 5 years
ago. he did retire 5 years ago, but in his heyday, he was a great player.
Oh, yeah. That sucks.
Fair enough.
It was like David Wright. It's like just end it, dude.
Yeah, just fuck off already, dude.
Oh, I like it. He was cool. He was a good dude. Hustler.
Laser show.
Hustler.
You're on a podcast for the Yankees.
2008 AL MVP.
You packed some fucking hogs.
You know what? No, I fuck him.
Yeah, fuck him.
Took the ring right off your fingers.
Guy stinks.
Two world. They try to say, I will say this. They are trying to say, like, a three-time World Series champion. I'm like, dude, he, like, wasn't even on the face of the earth in 2018. Like, let's get real.
In
the trivia question, I would have said he wasn't on that team. Like, honestly, I wouldn't have even.
No,
like,
I agree. I'm with you.
And when counting rings, that's such a fake fraud thing. Like, I don't know. I just hate the ring counting thing because a bench player, like Nate Robinson, has a ring.
Adam Morrison has two.
And Charles Barkley has zero.
That's awesome.
Our third shout out of the night, I'll give Steele the floor here. So NCAA football.
EA Sports from the clouds, baby. We're back. Needed it.
How are we back?
Needed it. The college football, video games, NCAA, hopefully 22. They were saying a few years. Let's get it.
Yeah, once they like it came out with the big breaking news and they were like, it might be 3 to 4 years. I was like, what's going on here?
But that's fine.
Are we actually going to do it or are we going to play around?
You need perfection. That's why new Grand Theft Auto comes out every like decade because they perfect it.
I've never seen that before.
They haven't had one in 10 years.
They don't come out with a new Grand Theft Auto every 10 years.
No, it's been 10 years.
Yes, they do. They used to add stuff onto it, but they do.
Since the last one, it's been like 10
San
years.
San Andreas Vice City came out.
I'm saying since Grand Theft Auto 5, though, it's been like 10
4.
Years.
Like, yeah. Whatever. They're much bigger. Takes a lot of time. But we're back regardless.
Yeah. I'll cap the show on. I just want to thank all the folks for tuning in as well as CBS NFL writer Tyler Sullivan for coming on, along with a couple of great local callers who phoned in. Thanks for coming on the pod. Also wanted to give a big shout out to Craig Hines and his father Jim. Great guys over there. I'll leave it at that. Steel and Naz shirts always available for purchase, so get on it
and have your Super Bowl party filled with some Quincy Eats, baby. Let's get it.
We'll use Quincy Eats. They'll deliver nice alumni pizzas.
Get
your Brockton Fire hot sauce and
Hancock
dump it all
Tavern,
over there.
It's all there.
Bernie's General Store. I mean, places you can't find on Uber. They don't even know about him.
If you're trying to fill up your honey, fill it up with the this first, that's for sure.
We got to get the Irish pub affiliated with Quincy Eats immediately.
Oh, yeah.
Immediately.
I might put that in tonight.
We can make that happen.
That's all from Steel and Naz, Mass Music Radio's Pioneer Podcast. Enjoy the Super Bowl Sunday, everybody. Be safe out there.